Welcome to the First Presbyterian Church of Berkeley. This is the complete recording of the 9 a.m. worship service.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church of Berkeley. We warmly welcome you, you and maybe some guests in your family already, and friends who might be here for the first time. This is the fourth Sunday of Advent, and we're on the threshold of Christmas, aren't we? Just about there. And some of us might feel some joyful anticipation. Some of us might feel a little bit of hesitation and even a little bit of fear meeting all those people again. But the angel has a word for us here. In Luke 2, we read that the angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds, who were terrified. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." This morning, we have the joy of beginning our worship with Zachary Rice and his mother, Janice, who will light the Advent candle.
We wait for light, and lo, there is darkness, for brightness, but we walk in gloom.
Arise, shine. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you.
For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples.
But the Lord will rise upon you, and the nations shall come to your light.
The sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give light to you by night. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory.
Thank you.
God is here and greets us with these words, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you." As we prepare our hearts for the way of the Lord during this time of Lent, we want to make our confession to God. And at the end of this prayer of confession, there will be a few moments of silent prayer. Let us pray together. God of Bethlehem Star, everyone is searching for your light, shining in the face of Christ. The Magi sought Christ simply to worship him, but Herod sought him to appease his jealous anger. We confess that our motives in seeking Jesus are not always pure. We do not come simply to worship. We come to Christ, asking his benefits of reassurance, health, wealth, asking to fulfill the hundreds of petitions of not so important requests that we heap before him. Magi sought first the kingdom. Help us, God, to follow their example, putting our own need in perspective, worshiping the Christ in love, content to be in your presence, and laying our gifts before you. Then may we journey, trusting that your goodness and light will accompany us all the days of our life. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. And our assurance of forgiveness this morning comes from the prophet Zephaniah, chapter 3. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. And on that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, "Do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love, and he will exult over you with loud singing." Friends, believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven and are being made whole. Amen. You may be seated.
Well, again, welcome to worship. We're so glad to be able to worship together. Whenever we have this opportunity, we are thankful to God that we can come and be together to honor and lift up the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. However, there are many other things that are going on in the church. You have a bulletin probably in your hand, and this bulletin reflects opportunities for study, for fellowship, for service, and we hope you take advantage of that, read through it, and we'd love to have you participate further in ministry with us through those events. If you are new, we would love to have you fill out a Connect card and put it in the offering plate, or take it to the the welcome cart. It will be in the narthex afterwards, or it will be on the patio if the rain has stopped. And there, for those of you who are new, you can pick up a meal ticket, a free ticket for lunch, or a ticket for a free lunch. The only problem is that there's no lunch today. So come back next week, but there's none then either. So by the time you're a regular attender, we'll still give you a free lunch the first Sunday of January. So we'd love to get to know you more and trust that your life and spirit will be deeply enriched by this community of faith. Hopefully you will join us for our Christmas Eve services, a 4 o'clock service. I would call this service full of buzziness, not busyness, but buzziness. There's a buzz about the service. If you come and bring children, you get to participate, or the children can participate in the drama of Christmas around the birth of Christ, and anybody who comes can participate in that. If you come at the 9 o'clock, it's not quite as buzzy, but it is a joyful reflection in worship as we sing carols and read scripture about the birth of Christ. So come join us on Christmas Eve for one of those or both of those services. Also, this is the season when we know how deeply God has listened to us. God has listened to the cries of the people and sent his Son to be for us the Savior of the world, to listen to our groaning and crying. And God has come in Jesus Christ. In this church, we have what's called Stephen Ministries. It is part of a broader ministry that takes place in churches. And it helps people gain skills in terms of listening, in terms of being able to enter into each other's life and experience their own life and care and concern at a deeper level. You can register for that now. It will begin in January, but you need to start registering for that, and we would love to have you join us in that training for care ministries, whether you're officially part of deacons or another care ministry. This will help all of us. Last summer, many of us were transformed as we saw the work of our hands transform a garden, a place of weeds and bushes, into a sanctuary of peace and an opportunity for reflection. We want to show you a video in just a minute. One of the things that we did was in this garden area, create space for women who've been on the streets working with City Team Oakland. And in creating that, we created it for women. There will be eventually 28 women in this home that are coming off the streets to redo their life in a way that Christ will help them through the people that are ministering with them in that particular location. That place is still in need, that place. House of Hope is still in need of both a redone bathroom, which, as you know, often costs money, and industrial refrigerators. You'll have opportunity to give to this ministry as we continue to reflect with them and minister with them on Christmas Eve. All the money that will be taken in on Christmas Eve will go to this ministry. And we trust that if you want to give, come ready to give. But watch this video. This is part of what we did last summer, and we want to continue the ministry with these women.
St. James House of Hope is an organization that our church supports as a partner and has for a while. And this past summer, we were lucky to be able to work with them on building the sanctuary garden. And we now are looking forward to new ways that we can support them and love them and be in relationship with them.
At the beginning point, it really was just broken concrete and an old broken down shed and overgrown trees and plants. That's how it started. And each day that we were there working, every day you could see actual improvement and growth happening.
Well, I've done church projects before, and so I knew kind of what I was gonna get into. I knew I would meet people that I haven't met before, that I haven't really engaged with before. And that's always been very cool. And it's always a growing and learning experience for me, and I've always liked that piece.
It was the enthusiasm of the people who were actually volunteering that finally made me feel like we should be there. The idea that it didn't necessarily take a lot of skill, you know, brooms and shovels and planting were things that we could do.
2, 1, there really isn't any other place in Oakland that concentrates on the healing for single women.
We have to recognize that women live under a unique set of threats to their safety and to their emotional well-being.
For these women to be able to come to a place of sanctuary and to have just a modicum of the peace that kind of most of us in the church have in our private homes. And so for that to be a place with beauty and with space and not just another warehouse for those people, it's just a real blessing to be a part of and an honor to be a part of.
Residents stay for 6 to 12 months. And each must be working toward gaining employment or continuing their education. There's also counseling for domestic violence and substance abuse.
It's one thing to put someone in another place, a place to shelter them, but it's another thing to give them all the tools that they need in order to succeed in life.
For Joanna, it's about regaining something in life that once seemed lost. Do you have hope now?
Tremendous hope.
I think a phase two of our partnership with City Teams House of Hope can look many different ways. It can be teaching, it can be coming alongside spiritually, financial contributions of what they might need to make their facility into the safe place that it's meant to be.
Mm-hmm. So we are attempting to continue ministering with them. We want to continue to bring them the peace of Christ as they learn to put their lives back together. You can give towards that on Christmas Eve. Now let's turn to one another, stand and give one another the peace of Christ as we welcome each other to worship today.
Well, that video was a wonderful reminder of the story that God is writing here among us as a church in many ways that oftentimes some of us might not necessarily be a part of. And yet, that's a culmination in many ways of the many prayers, thoughts that have been given up by people who have not been a part of that project. And it reminds us that our prayers communally are important to the expression and development of the ministry outward. And so I invite us to pray together this morning on this fourth Sunday of Advent, looking towards Christmas, knowing that there are a lot of people who do not have what we have at Christmas, and yet Christ came among those who had very little in order to give them very much. So I invite you in that spirit to pray with me this morning, and then we'll pray the Lord's Prayer. God of all mercy and God of all grace, your eternal word took residence among us when Mary, Elizabeth, Joseph, Zechariah, and the shepherds and others placed their lives before you and to the doing of your will and the receiving of that word. We ask, first of all, Lord, that as a community and as individuals, you would prepare our hearts for the coming of Christ within us again, deepening and extending that hope and love in ways in us that we have not even yet imagined, even as we gather on Christmas Eve. But also we pray, Lord, that we would, either through our imaginations and our prayers, or through our activities of service, enter into the sufferings of others, those who may hurt in body or in soul, where loneliness emerges. We pray that you would bring us to places of fearlessness and willing to risk to enter into the presence of those who are in need of your presence and of ours. We think of those in our community today who are not with us today, who are sick or ill, or maybe here in our congregation and as we worship. Those who are struggling with things that they have lost, whether they be loved ones, jobs, or relationships. We are aware this season can be very difficult for some of us, but also we pray that we may find the great joy, the deep, intangible joy of that which cannot be bought, and that which cannot be sold, and that which is eternal. Lord, keep us during these times. Keep us steadfast in hope, in a hope that does not deceive. For in Jesus Christ, we are coming to see that you are the God of all hope. And as we think of this house of hope, this place where we, many of us, served over the summer, and those who gave and prayed, Lord, may that be a symbol, an icon of what we are in this world, building houses of hope for other people, and not simply our own homes. Lord, strengthen us in body and soul for service in these days when it appears so much often does so little, and so much is against that which may be good, right, and true and beautiful. We pray today to celebrate this week and remember your birth among us. Bring our hearts to leap with joy at your word. Move us in your spirit to bless what we see, and so give us eyes to see into the depths of our lives and to care for the lives of others with a mercy that triumphs over judgment. In the name of Jesus, we gather our aspirations, our unspoken thoughts, and our unspoken prayers, and bring these together and gather them into the one prayer that you taught us to pray, O Lord, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy kingdom be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. May it be so. This morning, before we have our offering, I just want to say a couple of things. One is, if you are not going to be here on Christmas Eve and you want to give to the special offering for missions, I have it on good word from a good authority named Tom Elson that you can do so. And he tells me that there's this envelope in the back of the pew that says, has a bar on the top that says give. If you use this to place that gift in this envelope and then write on the blank where it says other for House of Hope or something like that, then that money will go to that cause. So if you can't be here, that's one way in which you can give on Christmas Eve. You will notice in the bulletin that there's a little box about our financial situation, which is always challenging at this time of the year, but we've made good progress. And there's still this gap, so we're holding this up in prayer, but we're also confident that God will help us close that gap. And so that may mean us going before the Lord and saying, what is it that I can do to help with the end of the year giving? As we look to this large financial need, I think it's always important that we look with the eyes of faith, that we look at the overwhelming impact of our ministries in many ways throughout the year, and the abundance of God that has continued to undergird us and guide us over the years. So may we respond practically as the Lord leads over the next few days in a spirit of thanksgiving and gratitude to God. Would the ushers come forward to receive this morning's offering?
And let me take this opportunity to wish you all a Merry Christmas. I know we're not quite there yet, but I can't wait, so I'm going to say it now. Plus, I know some of you will not be here on Christmas Eve when we really celebrate the birth of Christ. So wherever you are, I hope you have a great Christmas. If you haven't been here the last few weeks, we are taking a look at this idea of hope, this truth about hope that we have as Christians. We've entitled the series Audacious Hope, because God calls us to hope, and not just a little hope, but I truly believe an audacious hope. Audacious meaning bold, daring, fearless, intrepid, unafraid, showing a willingness to take surprisingly bold risks. And one of the reasons we decided on this series is because we sense that as a people right now, our hope tanks are kind of low. We're a little low on hope, and we need hope because hope is essential to life. Without hope, great endeavors come to a halt. Without hope, relationships end. Without hope, our dreams will never be realized. Without hope, really, nations decline. Without hope, life ceases. So we need hope. And what's good news this morning is that hope is right at the center of the Christian message. Right at the center of the Christmas story. For Christmas says there is always reason for hope. Let's pray and ask God to speak to us this morning. God, I pray that you would speak to us through your word this morning. And even more than that, Lord, that you would fill us with hope. God, we thank you that as your followers, we have something beyond ourselves for which to hope in. And so we pray that you would speak to us today, that we could leave here encouraged and filled with hope. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. For this morning's scripture, I'll be reading the birth narrative from the Gospel of Luke. So just take this in. It's a very familiar passage, but so great. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house in the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in cloths, in bands of cloths, and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord showed around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. This is the word of the Lord. When our kids were little, Allie was probably three, Drew was probably six, and that kind of age range, we would often play, as I'm sure many of you did with your kids, if you had kids, hide and seek. And Drew was really good at this game. He had great hiding places. He could be very quiet and very difficult to find. Allie, on the other hand, was just simply horrible. Just terrible at this game. It wasn't that she couldn't find good hiding places, but this is what she would do. When I started getting close to finding her, she would yell out, "Here I am, Daddy. I'm over here." She couldn't stand to be alone. I think this points to something in all of us. We don't want to be alone, do we? Now, some of us, you know, according to personality type, we may need a little more alone time than others, but ultimately, we don't want to be alone. Have you ever experienced something in life and you were alone and wish someone was there to experience it with you? Perhaps you're experiencing something of great beauty, like being on a top of a mountain peak looking over a beautiful valley, or perhaps you were at a play where the acting was simply fabulous, the music was great, the storyline just very, very good. And you didn't want to be there alone, did you? You wish someone was there with you so you could share it. Probably someone you love. There's something inside each one of us. Isn't there that when the big moments of life come, we don't want to spend them alone? We want to be with someone, someone we love. We want someone to be with us. You know, I believe this is the way God made us. He designed us in such a way that we want others to be with us during the big moments of life when we celebrate. We also want others with us during the difficult, hard times of life, right? I've often been in a living room after someone, a loved one, has died. And someone calls the pastor to come, and I come and I sit in the living room, and other loved ones slowly filter in. Why do we do that? And maybe we don't even say anything. In fact, usually we don't. But we're just there. Because we don't want to be alone. So we want someone there too when the difficult times of life come, perhaps when we're sick or going through something difficult. We want other people with us. Now, maybe not all of us here this morning realize it, but I think we also want God with us during these times. The big moments of life, the celebrations, but also the difficult times of life when we can barely make it. We want God to share life with us, to encourage us and strengthen us and comfort us and guide us. We want God's presence in our lives. We want God with us, don't we? Well, here's the good news this morning, this Sunday before Christmas. God has come to us. God is with us. This really is the Christian message of hope. Right at the center of the Christmas message is this idea that God has come to us, that God is with us. God has come near in Jesus Christ. Jesus is God's living promise that we are not alone on this little ball hurling through the expanding universe. We are not left to our own devices in life. But God is with us. We don't have to go through life alone. The promise of God is in the very name of Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. You know, I was thinking about this. I thought, man, God had a good PR firm. Good branding. The very name reminds us of this great truth. Our hope, really, that God is with us. God has come to us in Jesus Christ. The greatest miracle, maybe even the audacious miracle, bold, unafraid, risk-taking, God became flesh. Mind-boggling. Don't let Christmas pass without taking some time to ponder this amazing truth that God has come to us. God has taken on flesh, come to us in the form of a little baby. This is the amazing miracle of Christmas. The Creator God, the one who spoke And all things came into existence. The eternal God who was before the beginning and after the ending, the God who still holds, sustains all things together, this great, big, mysterious, awesome, powerful God who shatters our imagination, comes to us in the form of a little baby. Wow, you know, I love this painting that Carol Oust painted. I love it because there is this little baby and the surprise on people's faces. This little baby, as Allie said on the Hanging of the Greens, kind of slimy little baby. Right there. God with us. God is a searching God who comes near us in Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Do you know this is really the message of the Bible from cover to cover? That we have this God who desires to be with us, to be in relationship with us, to walk with us. That's mind-boggling. God does not want us to be alone, but he wants to be with us. Wow. There are so many implications of what we call the incarnation, God taking on flesh. It tells us so much about the character of God, how God operates, shows us God's heart. So powerful. The simplicity of the message is what's so powerful. God with us. That's the what of the incarnation. And the why of the incarnation may be even more mind-boggling. God is with us because God loves us. And it's a love that is unlike any other. God loves us, and we are not alone. You know, for some people, the thought of God coming near to them is not a real comforting thought. You know, they may be fearful of God. They don't want God coming in close to them because maybe they've made a mistake. Maybe their lives are such a mess, they feel guilty for something they've done. They don't want God to see all the problems in their life. They don't really want to see God to see them as they really are. That's because they don't see God as a loving God. It's a God who cares for them. A forgiving God. They see God as a God who's out to get them, who's keeping score, who maybe is angry with them, or at the very best, maybe disappointed. But here is the beauty of Christianity. This searching, loving God comes to us, what? In all our everyday, ordinary lives that sometimes are just a big old mess, right? Full of pain and worry and confusion and brokenness. And that's where God comes. Right there. In the midst of all of it. Sometimes we think God just wants to pull us up out of it. No, God comes right in the midst of it and is with us. Perhaps the biggest crisis of our lives. Sometimes we think, oh, God can't come there. You know, sometimes over the years of ministry, I will meet someone in town at the supermarket or someone somewhere else, just run into them, and maybe they haven't been to church for a while, and I know the look. It's this look of guilt. Like, I haven't been there for a while. I've missed out. And I don't want to heap guilt and shame, so I just say, you know, I've missed you. Haven't seen you for a while. And then they tell me their story, and sometimes this is the story. You know, something's gone wrong in my life, My life is kind of a mess, and when I get it straightened out, I'll come back to church. And what I want to say is, no. This is when you should come to church. Right now. Because God comes to us in our mess. I remember a conversation I had with a woman who attended the church I was pastoring, and she said this. She was going through the toughest time in her life. Broken, really. At the end of her rope, just kind of beaten down, confused and scared, a lot of pain. And she said to me, you know, I come to church all dressed up, looking my best, giving the appearance that everything is okay and that I've got it all together, and I smile and I pretend like everything is fine. But Steve, you know what? It's not fine. Life is not fine. I'm not okay. I'm hurting. My life is a mess. And you know what I really want to do? I want to come to church in my tattered old PJs with no makeup and my hair all messed up. I want to come like that so the outside will match the inside and everyone could see me as I really am. So we had PJ Sunday. Not really, but I wish we could. Let's do it. Let's do it. You know, this just points to, I think, the greatest desire, our greatest need as human beings. You know what it is? That we are loved just for who we are. Right? With all our messiness and all our brokenness and all our mistakes, it's all of us saying, you know, is there anyone who can know the real me and love the real me and walk with me through all the painful times of life, the dark valleys of life? Well, you know what Christmas says? You can be really known and really loved. You could clap. That's pretty good. You can be really known and really loved. You know, sometimes we think, oh, we can be known, but we can't be loved because if they really know me, they won't love me. And other times we can think, well, they can show me love, but not if they really knew me. But here it is. You can be really known and really loved. Okay, if you don't hear anything else today, here it is. As we come to the end of the set of sermons on hope, you know, I've been giving it a lot of thought, and here's what I think our true hope is. When it all boils down to it, our hope is knowing that God is with us and God loves us. That's it. Knowing that, you know what, it can bring great hope to our lives. And see, this is, I think, are the two great promises of the gospel. And faith in the Christian sense is being confident in the promises of God. And these are the two great promises. You know, God doesn't promise that life's going to go perfect all the time. God doesn't promise that we're not going to go through difficult times. God doesn't promise that we're not going to suffer. In fact, quite the opposite. But here's what God promises, and this is what you can bank your lives on, that God loves you with this amazing love that will never let you go. And he is with you always, always, always. God does say, wow, he will love us and he will be with us. And this presence, this love gives us hope. You know, I want to end today with going to Romans chapter 5, which is, I get tears as I read it. So good. I want to read it to you. And I think this kind of pulls it all together for us. Wow. Therefore, Paul has just talked about justification, about how we are made friends with God through Christ by us placing our trust in him. And then he writes this. Therefore, since we are justified or made friends with God by faith, we got to do that. Ask him to come into our lives. We have peace with God. And not the peace that is this feeling, but peace we have been reconciled with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we now stand. We stand in grace, not anything that we've done, but what God has done for us. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. You know what that hope is? You know what the glory of God is? That someday, and this is the hope of Advent too, someday all things will be made new. And you will be made new. And we will be with God for all of eternity. That is our hope. And not only that, now listen to this, we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance or perseverance. Suffering produces a long-lasting patience, a hang-in-there-ness. Is that a word? It is now. Suffering produces endurance. You see, one of our hopes is that God uses everything in our lives, that we can change. And not just on our own power. Our situations may not change, but God will change us, inform us, give us endurance. And suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. It's making us new. People who can have hope in the most difficult times of life. And character produces what? Come on, you know. Hope. Character produces hope. And listen to this. And hope, this hope, does not disappoint us. Doesn't shame us. Doesn't trick us. Why? Because God's love. Now listen to this. Here it is. God's love has been poured into our hearts. I love that image. Isn't that a great image? God just takes a big old pitcher of his love and pours it into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Wow. When God comes near to us in Christ, one of the great benefits, folks, is this gift of the Holy Spirit who indwells in us. In fact, God is not just with us, God is in us. And one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is to help us experience the love of God. Not just appear, not the objective love of God, which we'll take a look at in a second, but the subjective love of God, the warm feeling, the warmth of God's love. So that when we're going through difficult times, and you know what? I don't know about the other pastors, but this is what I've noticed. That when people are going through the toughest things in life, there's often this kind of paradox. That in the toughest times of life, they know the God, love of God in maybe perhaps the most strongest way they've ever felt it. Have you experienced that? I've had so many people tell me, Steve, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me in my life. But you know what? It's the best thing that's ever happened to me in my life because I am experiencing the love of God, the warmth of the love of God, like I never have before. And that gives us hope, right? And then he continues, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly, while our lives were still a mess. For a while, indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us, and here's the objective love. This is what's happened. Proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, still a big old mess, Christ died for us. The objective truth that we need to know that gives us hope. Wow. And then Paul continues in chapter 8, and I'm going to close with this. I already told you I was going to close, but here we go. God's love in Christ Jesus. Again, he comes back to the suffering. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yet who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who intercedes for us. And here we go. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ in Jesus Christ our Lord. We are more than conquerors. Now, I know we're Presbyterians, but we could clap at that. This is pretty amazing. Friends, that's our hope. That's our hope. God is with us, and God loves us, and nothing can ever change that. Amen. God, we thank you for this great hope that we have, this hope that is not in ourselves or in a government or in an army or in anything else, but it is a hope that is solid in this love that has been poured into our hearts. Lord, may we be filled with this hope. May we be confident in this hope. And as you develop our character, make us people of hope. That no matter what happens in life, we will know that you are with us and that you love us. Amen. Let's stand and let's close with our final song. today, if you would like to pray with someone or have someone pray for you, there is someone over there that would love to pray with you on this Christmas Sunday. As pastors, I wanted all of us to come in here, get close to you guys. Come on, come on. Got to show that we love each other.
Come on, Tom.
We want to wish
you a Merry Christmas.
We even practiced that, believe it or not.
Twice.
But we do. We want to wish you a Merry Christmas. If you're not here with us on Tuesday night, have a great Christmas. Yeah. And as you leave, may this hope of which we talked about this morning, may it fill you, may it give you confidence, may it give you peace. And as you experience that hope, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of us, both now and forever. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Have a great Christmas. Amen.